Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So we're in Matthew chapter 22. We're backing up. We didn't do these verses on last Saturday, but so we're backing up to the beginning of the parable. And verse 1 says this, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable, by means of a parable, and said this to them. Now, a parable, of course, you know, is a story that Jesus would use to illustrate a spiritual principle. In order for them to understand it better, he would take a everyday life experience story, and he would use the story to indicate and to illustrate the spiritual principle and to help to make them understand what he was talking about. So he used parables to help people understand. In this particular culture, stories were very, very important to people for understanding. They would grasp a story much more quickly than they would grasp some kind of intellectual discourse. So when you move from culture to culture, this happens. Things change. The way people receive things, the way they hear things, and what works with them is always to be kept in mind. But it begins in verse 2. He says, the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about heaven now, the kingdom of God could be on heaven and earth, because God is the king of both of heaven and the earth. And those of us who are on the earth, Jesus is our king. But here he's talking about the kingdom of heaven in particular. He said, in heaven there's a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. So in that we get the picture of the Father and the Son, and the Father looking to arrange a marriage for his son, wanting to bring a bride to his son, just as our Heavenly Father is very much interested in bringing a bride to his son, Jesus. Book of Genesis, Abraham sent out a servant, told the servant to go, and he would come to a well and so forth, and he would find a woman, and he would bring the woman back for his son, Isaac. He went, and the father went and provided for his son a bride. And we have that story all the way through the Bible, and it doesn't change here. When Jesus prayed, he said, all that you have given me, Father. So we know that, and that's John 17, we know that the people that have come to the Lord are people that the Father has given to the Son. The Father gives them to the Son. And that's one of the 68 things that happen at the point of salvation. The Father has given you to the Son. And of all that the Father gives to the Son, he doesn't lose any. That's good news, especially on your bad days. But so he sent out his servants to call those, in verse 3, who had been invited. So now the calling was coming. There's going to be a call on those who were invited, or those who are on the invitation list. There's an invitation list, and now it's time to go and call them to come. The invitation list, now it's time to call them to come. These are the invited ones. Those who are invited now need to be called. So he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Sad part of that verse. They're on the list, and who was on the list? Israel was on the list. Israel was God's people. Israel was the chosen people. Israel was the ones who were going to be, they were first on God's list of invitees. And now it was time to call them to the wedding. to come to the wedding feast, and they were the ones, but they were not willing to come. So the prophecies of the Old Testament proclaimed his arrival. The prophets proclaimed the day that Messiah would come. They gave all kinds of indications and all kinds of hints all through the Old Testament as to how he would come and what it would be like. And then right down to the end, John the Baptist, who was an Old Testament prophet, found in the pages of the New Testament, but he was before the crucifixion, so he's still under the Old Testament economy. The John the Baptist declared, not only, the prophecies pointed to the Messiah, but John the Baptist said, indeed, truly, this is the one. John 1:29, this is the one who's come to take away the sins of the world. This is him. So John declared him to be so. But they were not willing to come. Only a handful came. So being the chosen people, or being on the list of invitees, did not automatically mean that they were to be part of the bride or be at the wedding feast. They could go around and say, we're the chosen people, we're the chosen people, but they didn't come to him. And that was his issue with them in John chapter 8, when they proclaimed, hey, you can't tell us these things, we're Abraham's seed, we're the chosen ones. And of course, if you read that, you'll know what he said to them. He said, your father's not Abraham, your father's the devil. Didn't go over too well. Upset a few people. Wasn't very nice of him. Somebody in the crowd said, that's not being loving. They were just picking it. They wanted him to be sentimental, but he wasn't sentimental. He had God's love, because obviously he was God in the flesh, but he was not sentimental with people. So being the chosen people, being on the list of those who were to be invited, did not automatically mean that they were the ones that would be coming. Because it still came down to the fact that they were not willing to come. Responding to a call, or responding to the call for you and I, and for them, means that I personally come to Christ by faith. Just as he said, come, all you that are laboring and heavy laden and burdened down, come. So responding to the call by personally coming to Christ by faith would result in becoming one of the chosen. So the invitees, the ones that were on the original list, they were the chosen people who didn't come, and they became the unchosen people. Those that came became the chosen people, those who responded to the call. There was a remnant. God does not manipulate our decisions. He does not manipulate our decisions. He influences them. That's why we come to church. That's why we get together. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we have devotions. That's why we have tapes. That's why we have all that stuff, to have our decisions influenced by the teachings from the Word of God. I need to hear stuff to influence my decisions, because the decision's in my corner. God gave me a volition. He gave me a will. When he created man in the garden, he put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But here's the volitional test of that one tree over there in the center of the garden. Do not eat it. So he gave them the volitional test. That's their will. You can choose to eat of any tree you want. Choose the trees on the east side on Monday and the ones on the west side on Tuesday. You can do anything you want. You have a freedom of choice. I'm giving it to you within the boundaries of the garden. But one tree, I'm telling you, do not eat of it. That's the volitional test. So the fact that he said that you may freely eat, the word freely there means that you have a free volition. And the same thing is true today, that people have a free volition. He doesn't manipulate the decision. He wants to influence it. That's why we go to the streets. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we have radio programs. That's why we pass out literature, because we're trying to influence people's decisions. We can't make the decision. Anybody who's ever dealt with a loved one trying to get them saved knows you can't make them receive Christ. You can't make them be a Christian. You're trying to influence them. You do so with the things you say and also with the way you live your life. You're trying to influence your children to grow up and be godly kids. You're trying to influence them. You do so by the things you say and the way you live your life. The way you live your life correlates with the things that are coming out of your mouth. If it doesn't, then you're saying one thing and living another, then the hypocrisy becomes evident, and it does have a negative effect on how they live their lives. And you don't need to get guilty and condemned about that. You just start right now. And God will redeem things that have been shattered and things that have been broken and things that trust and the lack of confidence and credibility because I've said things and then I did things and I've been a poor testimony to some. But God can redeem that. He can redeem that. He can take care of those years that we wasted and maybe had a poor testimony, but God can buy that back. There's no reason to be condemned. We just start right now, realizing that what I say and what I do correlate. Because I'm trying to influence others as they are trying to influence me to make the right choices, the biblical choices, the choices that correspond to wisdom in the Bible. Because God doesn't manipulate the decision of the believer or the unbeliever. They need to be influenced. Satan wants to blind their minds. He wants them to be void of any influence from God. He wants the influence that they're under to be that from the world, the flesh, and the devil. He wants them to live independent of God. He wants them to live far, far away from thoughts of God. He wants to influence them to abandon all connections to the Lord. He wants to feed them with materialism and all kinds of other things to get them to go in a different direction than to follow Christ. His job is to prevent them from coming to the Savior. But he does not manipulate. He influences. In Matthew 23:37, as he sat up on the hillside overlooking Jerusalem, he cried out. Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent." And so here he's telling them that they actually killed the messengers, the one that were trying to influence them to receive their Messiah. They not only rejected them, but they killed them. You stone those which are sent to you.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause & Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 19... 19-